From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. In dealing with the Ten Commandments, Dr. Cairns has been treating each one in separate messages. Today, he begins to deal with the seventh commandment, Thou shalt not commit adultery. Our so-called modern society virtually ignores this command. Permissiveness, loose living, and easy divorce are rampant, as though God had not spoken. Yet God attached the death penalty to the first seven commandments, showing how seriously He regards the breach of them. Purity is the standard of the Bible, regardless of society's view of it. As we'll see, this commandment is based on the uniqueness and sanctity of marital fidelity. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to listen to this brief selection from C.H. Spurgeon's devotional collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Never Despair. The text is Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Fulfilled once in the first advent of our glorious Lord, and yet to have a fuller accomplishment in his second advent, this gracious word is also for daily use. Is it dark with you today? Does the night deepen into a denser blackness? Still, let us not despair. The sun will yet rise. When the night is darkest, dawn is nearest. The sun which will arise is of no common sort. It is the sun of righteousness, whose every ray is holiness. He who comes to cheer us comes in the way of justice as well as of mercy, comes to violate no law, even to save us. Jesus as much displays the holiness of God as his love. Our deliverance, when it comes, will be safe because righteous. Our one point of inquiry should be, do we fear the name of the Lord? Do we reverence the living God and walk in his ways? Then for us the night must be short, and when the morning cometh, all the sickness and sorrow of our soul will be over forever. Light, warmth, joy, and clearness of vision will come, and healing of every disease and distress will follow after. Has Jesus risen upon us? Let us sit in the sun. Has he hidden his face? Let us wait for his rising. He will shine forth as surely as the sun.
Jesus.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're glad that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We continue to receive encouraging responses to these broadcasts, and your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you would be interested in learning more about the Free Presbyterian Church, you might like to receive a copy of our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, which briefly sets out the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church. That, and any other literature we offer on these broadcasts, is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as what is the gospel, how is the death of Christ relevant in the 21st century, and can you be sure you're saved? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
be coming to a text in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 14, but our reading will be from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 19. Before I read the scriptures, I must confess that I feel the difficulty that has been expressed by many a preacher on coming in his dealing with the law of God to the seventh commandment. I think the difficulties that I've read of, for instance, in a great American preacher of the last century by the name of William S. Plummer, unknown, sadly, to all too many American pastors even today, but one of the truly great expositors of God's Word. When I think of his complaint in his day, and then when I go back even further into American history and read the lamentation of Timothy Dwight, when the grandson of Jonathan Edwards, when he was dealing with the law of God, I realized that what they thought was difficult was really not at all difficult in comparison to the situation of preachers today. We come to deal with the law of God and the subject of morality, and most particularly sexual morality. In the day in which we live, language has become very debased. Not only so, modesty has become very rare, even in the pulpit. And to make matters worse, our vocabulary has become more and more restricted. And therein lies the difficulty of the preacher. The English language is one of the richest languages ever known to man. And it has all the terms that are necessary to convey all the meanings that a preacher would need to convey in studying the seventh commandment. However, to the vast majority of English-speaking people, even to the vast majority of fairly highly educated English-speaking people, those words are now utterly meaningless and have been replaced by the garbage talk of the gutter. And that forms part of the difficulty of any preacher in dealing with modesty, with delicacy, and yet with honesty, with the matters that the Scriptures bring before us in the seventh commandment. Timothy Dwight pointed out that in his day, some people felt that they were too delicate to have God's law on this matter preached to them. He pointed out that we cannot be holier than God. God's law is for us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is profitable, and this is part of that holy law of God. We're going to be reading in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 3 through 9. Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 9. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? Jesus saith unto them, Moses because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. Our text is in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 14. Five simple words in the English language: thou shalt not commit adultery. Possibly none of the Ten Commandments is less intelligible to people of our generation than this. Not only unintelligible, but totally unwelcome. Indeed, it is so unacceptable that living in flagrant defiance of this commandment has become a way of life for millions. So much is it ingrained in the perverse habits of this generation, but again and again we hear from college campuses around the country that young people who desire to keep themselves pure are under constant attack as if they were something strange. How perverse can people be? Chastity today is a rare jewel. I'm sad to say that that is true even in the professing Christian church. One cannot be but shocked at the results of various polls that have been taken. One can only hope that somewhere a mistake has been made in the data, that the levels of immorality in the church are just about equal with those in the world. That even in many a Bible-believing, fundamental, gospel-preaching church, there is as much promiscuity and evil living as there is out there in the world. Back in the year 1631, an English printer made a horrendous mistake in the edition that he was printing of the authorized version of the scriptures. In printing the seventh commandment, he left out the negative and printed it as, thou shalt commit adultery. He was fined the awful sum of £300. A full year's wages in those days. One would think nowadays that he had printed the exact text of Scripture so widely practiced as wickedness and immorality. Despite the revolution in morals that has debased modern society, the seventh commandment is still the law of God. Any breach of it is sin. And this is no small commandment to break. I would have you remember that the first seven commandments each carried the death penalty under the Mosaic Code. The commission of adultery was in God's law to be visited by death. That is how seriously the Lord views the matter of personal chastity. As I studied this commandment, I thought that perhaps Paul's word to Timothy, a young man facing all the pressures both of his own nature and of the world and of the devil, Paul's word to Timothy is the simplest summary of this command. 1 Timothy 5, verse 22, Paul ended the verse, "Keep thyself pure." Keep thyself pure. And I will seek to show tonight that is the meaning and the message of the seventh commandment. Now, as we consider this, I will want you to note with me first the basis of the seventh commandment. The terms of it are, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And those terms indicate very clearly that this commandment is based on the uniqueness and the sanctity of the marriage relationship. Adultery is the sin of marital infidelity. It is the physical union of a married person with someone other than his spouse. Now, that is the essence and the grossness of this sin. This sin is the fundamental breach of the marriage relationship. So that if you're going to understand why the Lord inserts this in the Ten Commandments, you will have to understand the biblical doctrine of marriage. There is a very clear growth, or should I say, a development in the Ten Commandments. Obviously, there is first our duty to God, our duty to God's name, our duty to God's day. Then we come into the family, and there is the duty of children to parents and parents to children, recognizing the central importance of the home in the entire fabric of human society. But if the home is ever to amount to anything as a power for good or a power for God, then there must be the most absolute hedge of protection placed around the marriage union. And in the Scripture, we find therefore that marriage is an institution of God. That is clear from what we read tonight. The Lord Jesus said it was God who made them male and female at the beginning. It is God who brought them together in marriage and who declared that ever after that, so close is this union that even the union of parent and child must give way to it. And a man will leave his father and mother and will cleave or cling unto his wife. Marriage is not an evolution of some societal process. Marriage was not the discovery, a happy discovery, that society would be better organized on this basis. Marriage is not something dreamed up by the skill or the wit of man. Marriage was the institution of God when, in the very act of creation, He brought together a man and a woman and bound them as one flesh. Alfred Lord Tennyson is famous for many wondrous poems. He it was who said, "Marriages are made in heaven." Certainly, if that can't be said of every individual marriage, it certainly can be said of the institution.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, You may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.